we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker with you on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for being a person of action. Don't just listen. Today, take action, be a good citizen, a good biblical citizen, which means paying attention to what's going on and then letting your voice be heard. You got to find your voice this year, folks. If you have not been speaking out in your family, in your church, in your community, now is the time. We're at the precipice. This is no longer one of those moments in history where you can just sit on the sidelines and hope everything works out, hope somebody else solves the problem, pray that the cavalry will come and take care of it for you. You are the cavalry. So get engaged, get involved. And you can start by being a part of the program today. 888-589-8840 is the phone number, 888-589-8840. And I'm just feeling like this, I don't know, let's go wherever you want to go. Like, I don't know, let's talk about anything and everything you want to talk about. So call in with your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got, bring it on, and we will steer the show whatever direction you, the callers, decide that you want to go with it. So let's have some fun. I'll hit a couple of headlines while you're dialing in, but 888-589-8840 is the phone number. We got to start in New York. Listen, this is not, I don't remember any details about the movie. I don't even remember if I ever saw the movie, Escape from New York. I can kind of see the movie billboard in my mind, you know, the ad for it. I think it was Kurt Russell, if I remember right, with the patch over his eye. I think that's the right movie. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like it's Escape from New York time. This place is falling apart. I mean, literally just losing it. And I had great hopes for this mayor as a Democrat, right? Like the most hopes I could possibly have for a Democrat in New York after just horrific mayors the last couple of times, literally running the city into the ground in socialism. I thought that Eric Adams would be better. I mean, he even, you know, he proclaimed the Lord. I mean, he talked about bringing back Christian principles. He, you know, almost sounded like a Christian nationalist or something like that. But anyway, he kept his, I guess, his liberal leanings, because the way he has handled this illegal alien situation is, in some ways, it's just funny. I'm sorry. I can't help but laugh. I mean, I know we're not supposed to, and the Lord says, you know, that he might lift his hand from the judgment that the enemy feels. But I'm just saying, look, these people all over the country, these liberal mayors that said we're going to be a sanctuary city, and they chastised us in Texas. You know, they chastised anybody that said we should secure the border and stop this nonsense. We were the bad guys because we were being cruel and unusual and cruel and unusual punishment. We were literally like not, you know, loving our neighbors and all this nonsense that they gave us. As if you should open up your home and say doors are unlocked. In fact, let's just leave them open. And no matter what drug you're addicted to or what you know, what your background is, we're not even going to pay attention to any of that, whether you're good or bad or trying to, you know, help your family, or you're trying to rob me. We're just going to leave the door open. I mean, would you do that? Would you open your home like that and just say, anyone and everyone, come on in. You can sleep upstairs with my 6-year-old daughter. You can do whatever you want. You can, the house is yours. Raid the kitchen. It's all yours. I mean, that's what these people have done for the last 3 years with the nation. And so these people like Eric Adams chastised us for saying we should seal the border and make sure that we're taking good care of our nation. And now, wow, have they changed their tune. I mean, first of all, just watching them when the first little wave of illegal aliens started showing up in New York and all these other cities, and they'd have their press conferences, and this is just so hard. It's just so difficult. We have 10,000. We get 10,000 a day in Texas. 10,000 a day we're coming across the border until Governor Abbott finally stepped up and stopped the nonsense at Eagle Pass, and now at least it's all moving to California right now. I mean, you look at what was just at Eagle Pass, 3,000 or 4,000 a day, not counting the whole border, is now, 200 in the last week. I mean, that's a massive drop. But apparently now they're all coming up through the San Diego area. But my point is this, that we were getting that, you know, 10,000 a day, and they got 10,000 over several months and thought the world was going to end. Now they've had way more than that end up in New York. And initially the response, you know, made sense. It's kind of natural to say, okay, well, this is a problem. You know, we got people in the streets all over New York. We're becoming overwhelmed. This has got to stop. You know, President Biden needs to seal the border. Actually, Democrat mayor started saying the same thing we've been saying for years. But then their liberal tendencies kicked in. And they started kicking veterans out of places to put illegal aliens in there. They started telling private businesses, including swanky hotels, you're going to house these illegal aliens. Oh, but we'll pay for it with your money, of course. I mean, that's what's so foolish about this. These mayors can dole out millions of dollars and act like they're helping the needy when, in fact, they're just stealing from you to give to whoever they think needs the money. And then all they do is encourage more of that, because this is the anti-biblical way to take care of the poor or those in need. Anytime you do it through government, you're not doing it the biblical way, and all it's going to do is cause more confusion, more heartache, more pain. You do it God's way through the church, through the individual, all of those things, then it's far more effective, and you actually help people, and then you actually get them out of the need and out of the poverty and into being able to be a productive member of society. My point is, New York's attitude has knee-jerk leftism. It's unbelievable. They are giving away. Not only are they putting people up, not only are they paying for these swanky hotels, not only are they kicking kids out of schools so that they can house them in their schools, they're now handing out cash. They're handing out debit cards. So far, $53 million in prepaid debit cards. They're giving, I mean, and from what I understand, it's up to $10,000 per person. They're not just housing them in hotels and whatnot. They've got these shelters, and you've probably seen the social media of the violence where they're attacking cops. They're taking these illegal aliens that physically attack cops and putting them out without bail the very next morning or within hours. And then, of course, we all saw the social media videos of these thugs. They're thugs. Literally, you know, flipping everybody off as they walk away from the police precinct because they've now been let out after attacking NYPD. Must not matter. I don't even know how a normal New York citizen that works, that pays taxes, that supports their neighborhood, how they are, you know, not protesting right now. And I've seen some. There's been some small protest, you know, mainly over the money and the giving away of the food stamps and housing and all that kind of stuff, and saying we're not going to be able to get that stuff. So that's interesting as well. But it's just unbelievable, man. New York's, according to FoxNews.com, nearly 2 million residents in New York were unable to afford basic necessities like housing and food in 2022, including 420,000 kids. And yet, in that environment, 53 million in prepaid cards are going to illegal immigrants. Illegal aliens, we should use the right terminology. And so I can't imagine how New York turns this around and recovers. I shouldn't say that, because the principles of liberty don't change. If you flip the inputs, if you start putting good stuff in, you will once again get good stuff out. But the damage, you cannot escape the consequences of your actions. And for New York right now, the combination of choosing to not make America first, but instead make America last, and in New York's case, to make New Yorkers dead last and make illegal aliens from all over the world first, it has a consequence. And then combine that, throw on top of that this political persecution, where what they've done to Donald Trump with the 400 million, you know, 300, whatever it is, plus all the other fees and everything else, and you can't do business here, and, you know, confiscating and all the stuff they're doing to Donald Trump as pure political persecution. I mean, they even admit it. They admit that we wouldn't do this to anybody else. We're just doing it to him. That is going to destroy the business climate in the entire state of New York. I mean, you who in the world would invest in real estate or a project of any size whatsoever in New York, knowing that if you simply put on a bank application, on a loan application, what you believe the value of that property is, or even what you got it appraised by an independent third-party appraiser, then you're basically setting yourself up for what's happened to Donald Trump if you ever rub the powers that be the wrong way. And we know how Democrats turn on themselves, so it's not enough for you to be a Democrat businessman or woman and go into New York and say, well, I don't have to worry about that because I'm not a Republican. No. We've seen Democrats turn on each other for sure. Look at what they did to Kennedy. It wouldn't allow him to debate, basically kicked him out of the primary. I mean, they will turn on each other without a doubt. So to anyone considering business in New York, they've basically been told at this point, don't do business in New York. If you rub the politicians the wrong way, we're going to, you know, prosecute you. We're going to take all your money. We're going to shut down your businesses, and we're going to prevent you from ever doing business again. That's the message. That's exactly the message that they're sending. And then you combine that with the outlandish crime increase and all the illegal aliens and what they're doing with the money. And if you're not escaping from New York, I'm not understanding you. I'm especially New York City. Now, I can understand if you're in upstate New York and you might try to ride this thing out and hopefully turn it around. And I get it when you have family, you know, ties to an area and you've been there forever and you're fifth generation or whatever, the people have their reasons. I guess I should say I do understand there are reasons that might override all of this if you're in, you know, upstate New York or something like that. But if you're in New York City, you need to get out. I'm telling you, that it's done. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's being, you know, forewarned. This place is falling apart, and they are bringing it on themselves. The mayor is to blame. The previous mayors are to blame. And certainly these prosecutors and the governor for not, you know, stepping in and stopping it is there to blame as well. So what a mess. What a mess in New York. So escape from New York was one of the headlines I just absolutely had to comment on before we go to the phones. Okay, we'll try to get a couple of calls in here, but maybe we can get one in before we go to break. If you want to join us, it's 888-589-8840. We're going to take the show wherever you want to. So call in. Robert from Texas is up first. Robert, go ahead, man. You can get us started.
Hey, Robert, man, can you hear me? How you doing? I was just reaching out. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
All right. Yeah, man, I was just reaching out because I found my way to you guys' station. It's my radio's naturally on here before it connects to the Bluetooth. And, I mean, I find myself not even listening to music anymore. Like the fella I talked to before you, I was just calling to tell you guys that I appreciate, you know, I usually catch the, you know, you guys giving the word and talking about the, you know, Christianity. And I've been distant from the church for a while and, you know, talking, you know, listening to you guys talk about it is getting me, you know, take that next step and find fellowship around where my wife and I just moved up to. And I was Amen. Just, you know, reaching out to say thank you for what you guys are doing.
Well, absolutely, brother. God bless you, man. Thanks for listening and hopefully sharing with your friends and family and telling other people about it. But that's why we do what we do, and we're blessed to be in a position to do that. And I think it's a, you know, it's really interesting how God has, I think, placed American Family Radio and American Family Association for such a time as this, when people are hungry, when they're looking for sources that they can trust. Because, you know, we're all kind of in that position right now where we're going, man, who can we trust anymore? There's hardly any news outlet that you can count on. The supposed experts, the certainly government. I mean, everybody's got this distrust of the institutions, and we've got to rebuild that in our culture. And so you got to find community, and you got to find shows like this that you can listen to, and networks like American Family Radio. So appreciate that call, man. That's encouraging to us. It reminds us that we're in the right place at the right time and doing what God's called us to do. So appreciate you listening, and be sure and share it with friends and family. We're going to take more calls when we come back. The phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, hitting a few of the headlines and taking your calls. If you want to participate today, it's 888-589-8840. One kind of fun headline before we go back to the phones. Lou Holtz, he says, we need to coach America back to greatness. Lou Holtz, man, I remember when he was coaching the Razorbacks at Arkansas years and years ago, and then, of course, much more famous for coaching Notre Dame, and definitely considered to be one of the greatest football coaches that we've ever had. And Trump gave him the Medal of, the Medal of Freedom back, you know, right before, I guess it was like December of 2020. Anyway, Lou Holtz basically saying we got to coach America back to greatness. He called Trump one of the greatest presidents of my lifetime. I just thought that was interesting coming from a guy that knows how to win and knows what makes for winners and makes for an environment where you can win without doubt. Yeah, man, I was just looking at his record. Coached college football for 33 years. Head coach of the Fighting Irish for 11 seasons from 86 to 96, finished with a 110 wins and 30 losses and 2 ties record. That is impressive without a doubt. Without a doubt. Anyway, neat headline there. All right, let's go to Caleb. Speaking of Arkansas and the Razorbacks, Caleb in Arkansas, go Hogs, go. Hey, Caleb, go ahead, man.
Hey, Rick, I was wondering if you had any input or thoughts on the cell tower outages that took place last night and into this morning.
Man, you know, I was just reading some of that and also experiencing something weird. I don't know if this had anything to do with the outages, but I've had a few people that this is weird. It's like the texts are going into just weird, like, cyberspace where you're not getting them. Or you dial someone's number and you actually get someone totally different. So, like, whatever they did to hack the system, just this little bit of a hiccup, I guess you could say. Just imagine, folks. Just imagine a full blown cyber attack that either takes down that system or completely, you know, rewires it into craziness. This is. I don't think something we dismiss lightly. So that's that. You know, at this point, that's all I got, Caleb. But I definitely see it as well. In fact, it's even. I even had an exchange with someone this morning. We were talking about Congress and the definite. You know, how do you declare war? And as I teach in my Constitution class, there's really no exact specific way to do that. I've always said when they spend money appropriating funds to go to war, that's really the declaration of war. But at the same time, then you got to define, okay, is giving money to support a country that's at war or defend themselves is as long as you don't have boots on the ground, what is that? Is that war or is it not war until you have boots on the ground? And anyway, the person I was talking to said, you know, you got to start thinking about cyber war as well. And I thought, man, that fits exactly into the stuff that we're watching happen. So, Caleb, it's interesting that you called about that because that's definitely on my mind. I don't really have an answer. I haven't thought all of that through. But, man, that's huge, and I think that's something I know there are people a lot smarter than me that are spending a lot of time and energy and money trying to prepare for that and to protect our grid, protect all of those things, which our electric grid is very vulnerable. There's a great movie with Dennis Quaid, narrating it, and a friend of mine, David Tice, put it out. But it is a very vulnerable area for attack as well. So I think this whole thing with the cell towers should be a warning to us to put more time and effort into defending those kind of things. So great call, man. I'm actually, you got me really thinking about that one. We might have to get a special guest on to talk a little bit more about that one. Okay, how about we go to, I think it's Michigan. It looks like Michigan. Bill in Michigan, go ahead, man.
Hi, Rick. Hey, I'm calling about LGBTQ books in our public library, even for small children. Mm. I've heard of someone on your network telling about someone who was helping to get these books out of libraries. Do you happen to know who this was? And then also, one of our township officials would like to put a hold on raising the funds for the library. They're asking for more money this year. But we're not sure what we can do. You know, I'm not sure what we can do in this situation. So could you help us out, please?
Yeah, man, I'll just give you two quick thoughts on that. Number one, a fantastic source for this. I think they've become about as effective at this as anyone. And there's a lot of groups that are working on this. But Moms for Liberty has been fantastic, and they've won quite a few battles in communities. I don't know how active they are in Michigan yet. You know, they started in Florida, and they just kind of swept across Florida. Now we've got a lot of chapters in Texas. And I think I know they're national now, and they've got, you know, quite a few chapters. But you might even just go directly to their website and put in a request and say, hey, if you don't have a chapter in our county, what can we do to get one started? Would you coach us through this process? Because they fought a lot of these public library situations. And then the second thing I would say depends. I'm not really familiar with Michigan's setup, but usually these library boards are either elected or they are appointed by the mayor, or there's some sort of governmental process there to put them in place. And you can absolutely engage in that, possibly run for it yourself, but definitely show up at city council or whoever in your particular community is the decision maker on who runs the board. Because a lot of the library, it may be that you've got a executive that is running that library that's going to act like, well, they don't care what you have to say. They're going to do what they want to do. But they answer to somebody. That's a taxpayer-funded entity normally. And I'm assuming that one is. And you just mentioned they're wanting to, you know, raise more money. So, man, I'd say just follow the money. Follow who makes the decisions and funds the library and start peppering them, obviously politely, as polite as you can, while being righteously angry, as you should be. And start getting other citizens involved. Let your churches know that this is happening. I'll honestly tell you a lot about your church and your pastor if they're not willing to stand up against something like this in the community. You might have to find one that is willing to be a Black Road Regiment pastor and actually be salt and light. Imagine that. Bill, great call, man. I wish I had more specifics for you, but that's where I would start.
Rick, I get an update for you.
And for others that are out there, do the same.
I got a quick update for you.
Yeah.
There's 12 chapters in Michigan, and I'm going to put a link to Moms for Liberty in the podcast notes.
Oh, 12 Moms for Liberty chapters already in Michigan. Ah, excellent, Bobby. Thank you, man. I tell you what, they've been exploding. I love Moms for America and Moms for Liberty, both great groups, very different. They kind of have almost a different purpose in a way. Moms for America has been around for a long time, like 2004. Kimberly Fletcher runs that one, and they've got a lot of good education programs. They use our biblical citizenship course, and then Moms for Liberty also uses our biblical citizenship course, but they're much more focused on exactly what Bill was calling about, these library fights, the schools having this stuff in the libraries as well, taking over school boards, really engaging in the local community with the education establishment that has gone so far left, engaging them and in many cases taking them over. I mean, they won, I forget how many school board races they won in Florida, but it was significant, and that's what really catapulted them to start spreading all across the country. So great organization. Really encourage you to check them out today. Okay, let's go to Leslie in Tennessee. Leslie, go ahead. Your comment or question today.
Hey, Rick. My question is, I have heard that there's no constitutional foundation for a federal income tax. Not being a scholar, I don't know that to be the fact, but you will know that. When did income tax start to afflict us?
Yeah, so a lot of times we tend to think, or you'll hear from somebody, well, that was the 16th Amendment, there was no income tax before that. Now, that's not absolutely accurate. Article 1, Section 8 does allow you could do an income tax before, and there was. It's just that it had to be apportioned evenly among the states, meaning that it was more like a capitation tax, meaning that every person paid the same. So you could say, okay, everybody's going to have a $100 tax, and it didn't matter where you lived or you know how much you were worth or what your age was or any of that. You treated everybody the same, which actually I think is the right way to do it in the first place. What the 16th Amendment did in 1913 was it allowed for essentially a blanket income tax to be designed any way that Congress wanted it to work. Now, they promised the American people that this is not what the 16th Amendment specifically says, but as they were kind of selling it for ratification, They acted like it was never going to be more than 1% and all this stuff. And, of course, now it's way beyond that. There are some people out there, just random information for you, Leslie. There are some people out there that say it was never properly ratified and, therefore, it's not part of the Constitution. I don't buy into that because, number one, we've lived under it for 100 years. And number two, the arguments against ratification are literally like the comma was in the wrong place or in a different place in a couple of states or whatever. So it's just I just don't think it holds any water. It's too late at this point to fight that particular battle. So I am very anti 16th Amendment. In other words, I'm for a repeal of the 16th Amendment. I think we should get rid of the income tax, go to sales tax. It's the only, I think, proper tax because you don't get punished for investing in or making more money or any of those things, and you only pay the tax when you spend. And everybody pays it based on how much they spend. So if Leslie, if you make $1 million this year and you spend, you know, 800,000 of that, and I make 100,000 this year and spend 80,000 of that, you're going to pay a lot more in sales tax than I'm going to pay. Whereas with the income tax, you're probably going to be able to afford to have all kinds of, you know, lawyers and CPAs and trusts and all these different things that you're going to be able to do to avoid paying much of that tax. And then the person making only 100,000 can't afford to do that, and they end up paying a straight up amount. So that's a really long answer to your question. It's definitely in the Constitution. It is unfortunately constitutional, but I'm all for getting rid of it so that it would not be constitutional. I just don't know that we have the momentum to do that. Now, Congress could choose to just not do an income tax. That would be constitutional as well, and frankly, kind of nice. But I don't think they're going to do that. It would be nice if they would do that. But anyway, great, great question. I love those kind of questions, folks. Bring them on. And by the way, take our Constitution class. You can get that at patriotacademy.com. It's free. You can be a coach for free. If you want to buy the DVDs or the workbook, you can. But if you want to just take the class online with some friends and family, you can coach that class all you want and invite people, and we'll teach you how to do all of that. So check that out and go through the class because it's fun, it's entertaining. It's not your typical boring Constitution class or history class. We make it really entertaining, and we do get into the weeds sometimes on things like that topic right there, income tax. But most of it is, okay, what are the things we as citizens can do? What does the Constitution empower us to do? What's within our realm of authority and power to make a difference? So really, really interesting way to be a part of the solution. Okay, let's go to Anna in Mississippi. Anna, go ahead. You're up next.
I love your program, and thanks to me listening to it, I now have an extreme interest in our Constitution.
Excellent. Excellent.
I appreciate that. I have a question for you. You know, the phone services that went out this morning.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, with them trying to grab more power to listen in on us and spy on us, could this be a fear tactic from the government?
You know, there was a time, Anna, when I would say, oh, no, we would never, you know, we would never do that. I'm at that point where there is nothing I would rule out. I mean, literally nothing. I think we have such evil people right now in positions of power behind the scenes and sometimes right there in front of the camera that are so selfish and so power hungry and so left leaning that they are the George Orwell 1984 type people. You know, they are, frankly, to pull it lightly, they are the pigs in Animal Farm, and they I think they're capable of anything. I have no evidence whatsoever, and no way to know if that was the case in this particular instance. And my instincts would say no, that wouldn't be them. That this would be a cyber attack from another country that broke through. That's probably the most likely answer. But I just have to say, I don't rule anything out anymore. I've become very, not jaded, not, I don't think cynical, just very skeptical. Very, very skeptical and very untrusting. Is that a word? Untrusting? Anyway, I've become very much trust but verify, and I lean heavily on the verify side of that equation. And frankly, I think they've earned, unfortunately, this lack of trust They meaning the government institutions. And of course, that's a broad statement. I recognize that. And the institutions are nothing but vehicles. It's who you put in charge. It's all about leadership. It's all about who you put in place. But it's also a reflection of the lack of values and morals in our country. So that's another reason that I don't put anything past them, because when you go to a moral relativist society, when you turn into a place where there are no moral absolutes, there is no right or wrong, anything goes, their gender doesn't even mean anything anymore, when you get to that point, then anything goes. And people are willing to do anything and then justify it. And the end justifies the means. So when there is no God, when there is no right or wrong, when there are no truths, anything is possible. And there are a lot of people in America that now buy into that philosophy, that there is no truth, that there is no right or wrong. And so it's natural for them then to think, well, if I can get away with it, I'm going to do it. If the consequences are don't outweigh the benefits, then I'm going to do it. And I think that's what we're facing in the culture. And so what you suggest is always a possibility in that kind of environment. It's one reason it's so important. It has to be Ezra and Nehemiah, folks. We got to do both the spiritual and the practical, physical, political, right there, you know, in our neighborhood kind of a thing. So we have to have a spiritual revival. We have to teach people truth. We have to call them back to the bedrock foundational Judeo-Christian values that made the nation great in the first place. Without that, as George Washington said, religion and morality are indispensable supports of political prosperity. The nation will not prosper if we don't get back to that religion and morality. We need morality. We need truth. We need right and wrong. Once again, it begins with us. We need to teach ourselves, teach our family, teach the people in our church, in our neighborhood. But then the culture has to do that, too. It's got to be reflected in our media, in our entertainment, in our politics, in our education system, all of it. Stay with us, folks. Quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us. I got to read you this tweet that I just saw. This is so good. Insurrection Barbie is the tweeter's name. I don't know. Is that what you call somebody on a tweeter? Anyway, this is a great summary, folks. Listen to this. So let's see. This is, you know, everybody's kind of... you know, we talked a little bit about what happened to Donald Trump in New York, what they've been doing to him. But just compare that. Okay, here's the. Oh wait, I just lost it. Here, come back here. Okay, so she's talking about the comparison of what happened to Trump and what Biden is doing. So when Trump, this is quote. So when Trump takes out a loan and pays it back with interest, it's a crime. But when you take out a student loan and don't pay it back, then Biden forgives the loan, steals money from taxpayers to pay it back. That's not a crime. Okay, clown show. Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolute clown show. That's the bad news. Man, let's get to some good news. My buddy John Devine is on the Texas Supreme Court and just been a fantastic Supreme Court justice for us in Texas. In fact, he's been out to Patriot Academy to swear in the kids multiple times. He and Nubia, just wonderful, wonderful couple and good friends of ours. And so I just really appreciate not only his service to the state, but the iron sharpening that I get with him every time we sit on the porch and or have a meal together. And I got to see him the other night at a dinner in Gillespie County. And now he's just out there all over Texas, got a campaign right now. But, man, getting to talk to a lot of Texans and get a taste for where we are in the country. And fortunately had a few minutes while he was driving from city to city across our little bitty state here in Texas. John, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be with you.
Hey, man, so what part of Texas are you in today?
Well, I'm headed through San Antonio on my way to Corpus Christi.
All right. Well, very good. Very good. Well, man, you've been at this for a long time. Our listeners will very much appreciate your history. Many moons ago as a district judge, the Ten Commandments judge, getting in all kinds of fun trouble for putting the Ten Commandments up at your court. You also spent a lot of days being a pro-life activist and even jailed for that at one point because you stood up for truth against unrighteous laws. So you've been in this fight a long time. I'm not going to say how many decades, but let's just say it's more than one decade.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I just got a request from the Austin American Statesman, and they made the statement, we'd like to talk to you about your 118 days in jail, you know, rescuing unborn children and so forth. And I, and of course, you know, I immediately the words fake news comes to mind. Right. And it may be true that I spent 118 days in jail, but there's no point in talking to them about it.
Yeah, I used to, you know, that's funny you say that, John, because I used to answer whatever, you know, if I didn't recognize a number on my cell phone, I would answer it. And it was quite literally Austin American Statesman reporters that broke me of that habit. I stopped. Now I won't even answer the phone unless I know who it is. They always twist stuff completely out of control. You're an absolute hero, man. I appreciate you and all that you've done for our state and for our country and for the unborn. But tell me about what you're, you know, kind of, because you and I talk about this a lot. Where's the country going? What's the attitude of people out there? And I remember campaigning all across the state for Supreme Court. You get to meet a lot of people, and you really do get a sense for kind of the trends and what's motivating people to get involved and get out there. So what have you been sensing the last couple of months?
Well, you know, I've got a primary opponent in this race. And he has taken this tact of sitting at home, literally sitting at home in his attic. And he sued me, first of all. He sued me to try to keep me off the ballot. Of course, I'm coming back from Texarkana in the middle of nowhere on a Friday evening. I get this call, you know, Judge, there's been a mandamus filed against you, and they're trying to remove you from the ballot because your signatures were no good, allegedly, and this and that and so forth. So I literally had to put together an appellate trial team immediately, get a response. The court wanted a response by 4:30 on Monday. And so we got all that handled while I was on the road. And then of course, I just recently get a bill of nearly $40,000, which I'm not griping about the fact that, you know, the bill is that high. It's just the idea that all that energy and money and effort had to go into a frivolous case to try to remove me in a one-shot deal from the ballot. And then ever since then, he just sits at the attic and throws out bombs at me. And, Rick, to this day, I've never met the guy. So, you know.
So he doesn't even show up at the forums or anything. You know, I remember the signature fights a few years ago. There were candidates for the court that did get thrown off the ballot. So that is a serious fight that you have to be engaged in. How long you been on the court? 12 years?
This will be my 12th year, right.
12th year, yeah.
And, 29, I think about 29 years total as a judge in the state of Texas.
Yeah. And then Supreme Court is a six-year term. Now, some of our listeners may be going, wait, Supreme Court, is that U.S. Supreme Court, is that Texas Supreme Court, especially our outside of Texas folks, they may not understand the difference in that. Of course, U.S. Supreme Court, federal court, is appointed by the president, but here in Texas, we elect our judges. That's actually a great question for you. I mean, I know some states don't do that. It's like half and half, I think, if I remember right. I mean, as a judge, what do you think? Even though I know a lot of people vote not knowing who they're going to vote for, they don't know who the judicial candidates are, but at least people have a say. What is your take on that? What do you think about election of judges?
Well, our Constitution, the Texas Constitution, says that the people will elect their judges. And that means we're thrown into the political fray. Subject to all of the, you know, fights and politics of the day. And so, you know, we're not immune from any of that, and we got to get out and campaign. And so for the past, you know, nearly a year, it seems, I've been out meeting people. The idea is that, you know, we are expected to, you know, we want our people in Texas to know their judges, to have some accountability, which is, I think, it's very valuable. I think the Chief Justice and I are the only judges on the Texas Supreme Court that were actually elected to the Supreme Court. Everybody else had been appointed over time.
Because of vacancies, right? Because somebody resigned from the court, then the governor gets to appoint them, appoint a replacement to finish out that term, and then they have to run for re-election.
That's right. So the governor of appoint, in fact, our current governor has appointed 5 members of the court.
Wow.
All incredibly qualified, smart people, hardworking, dedicated people to the rule of law. And so, you know, I'm proud to serve with them. But like I said, Chief and I were the only two that were actually elected in accordance with the Constitution. And so in terms of having to run, you know, golly, I'm 65, believe it or not. And it's hard on you when you try to get out and cover the vastness of the state of Texas, traveling hither and yon. But I do love meeting the people. And we have great people across the state of Texas. As you know, you travel more than I do. I'm not trying to cry on your shoulder about it. But it is a beautiful thing to meet the people of the state of Texas. And I do enjoy that. I do think of driving as sort of a mental therapy for me. And, you know, so I think it's important that judges are continued to be elected, because what will happen is that they will, you know, in all the courts I've seen around the country, a lot of their Supreme Courts are very liberal. And the people that I know in the state of Texas wouldn't cotton to that very much at all if they knew the kind of people they've got in other states, which is why Texas, I think, has survived. You know, if you'll remember, it was Texas that didn't go along with the COVID nonsense. And we held together as much as we could in enforcing the laws. They wanted to change and loosen the law during COVID and use as an excuse to suspend our election code and allow all kinds of silliness to occur. And specifically, they went after, in Harris County, they tried to mail out 3.5 million applications for ballot by mail, which had those gone out, we would have been counting votes for weeks and months, just like Pennsylvania and all those states that had converted from Republican to Democrat outcomes.
Well, and I remember that fight.
Texas held firm.
Yeah, no, I remember that fight, and the Supreme Court was the one that stopped a lot of that nonsense, and you were the one, you know, pushing hard to make that happen. What do you get most from, as you're campaigning out there, like, what's the number one thing people ask you about where we're headed or you know, where you stand, or just kind of what's on their mind? I mean, what are they most concerned about right now?
Well, of course, they're concerned about the border. They see the bigger picture here. You know, Texas has been fighting this for years and years and years, and now that New York and Chicago and other states that haven't seen the kind of influx, now that they're experiencing it, they see the absolute devastation that what hundreds of thousands of people who are not even citizens that are coming into their communities, and they're concerned about that. So that's a big issue, but of course, that's more along the lines of the feds. That's a Fed issue as a general rule. You know, we haven't been drawn into that. Perhaps in the future we will be drawn into that as the state of Texas passes state laws and as the state of Texas does take better control over the border, as it appears that the governor has been doing.
Yeah, I guess the way that stuff will work is, you know, any of this fight between Texas and the feds is in federal court to determine, you know, how that's going to go. And the only way it would end up with you guys in state court, like you said, is if there's some state law in question and challenged in the in the state courts.
Right. And there are. I mean, they have done some things. The other issues, of course, in this past legislative session, regarding child mutilation. We've seen the abortion statute. The Democrats are already attacking us on that. They've got a website out there, a PAC devoted to our destruction. It is very foul language. You wouldn't believe the language they use in describing. I think they use the term Jimmy, John, and Jane, and how we upheld the statute recently in the Cox case. In a situation where she was trying to carve out an exception, the court said no, of course that created a great deal of pushback, but the court held firm on supporting the statute passed by the Texas legislature,
and which was huge and hopefully inspiring a lot of other states to do the exact same thing. You got to win it at the legislative level, but then you also have to have good judges on the court to uphold that the legislature. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So good stuff.
That's right. So,
go ahead, man. Yeah.
So if, you know, so if you go back to appointed judges everywhere, I'm fearful that the people in those respective states will lose control over who their judges are. And so it'll all fall into politics, and it'll be whoever's friends with the governor, and you may have a Democrat governor, and we see how they handle their state's business. I mean, the Democrat states in this country are a wreck right now, financially, morally, in every way, their cultures.
Yeah. I opened the show today with Escape from New York, you know, that it's just such a disaster at this point between the prosecution, persecution of Trump, and telling every business person basically to get out of town or else they're going to have their assets seized, to the, you know, the mayor of New York City giving out up to $10,000 to every illegal alien. So it's, you know, it's Escape from New York at this point, and we're seeing that in a lot of places across the country, which makes a place like Texas that much more appealing. You know, and that's, you know, I think that's probably what my last question would be for you. We got a couple of minutes left here. Is, you know, there feels to be such a divide in the country. How do we get people to fall back in love with the things that should unite us? Due process, equal protection under the law, you know, the right of self-defense, freedom of speech. I mean, all those things that we used to champion and left, right, you know, liberal, conservative, everybody loved it. It seems like we've lost a common love of those basic values.
Well, we have. And, you know, what you do and your ministry, if you will, and I applaud your great efforts. We've had many conversations about this. God's got you exactly where he wants you. And those values must be restored. A free people, you can't have freedom and lawlessness at the same time. And we have lawlessness. We have the total loss of respect for the rule of law again. We have kicked God out of our culture. And you can't survive long without him involved in our daily lives, and of course our children. Look at the culture in online nowadays. You know, the immunity that seems to be has been given by our very Congress to social media platforms that allow for things that we would never have believed in the past.
Yeah,
and so a lot of these values. And some of these values have got to be sorted out in court. I mean, it was the Texas Supreme Court for the first time ever in any court in the country to hold Facebook liable in court.
That's right.
For their platform that trafficked.
That's right. Hey, John, I'm up against it right here. Before we go, 30 seconds, I just want to pray for you. Lord, I ask you to protect John and Nubia. I pray that you will give him wisdom in his decisions on the court. And just thank you that he's willing to serve and be a great patriot out there in Jesus' name. John, thank you for calling in today, man. Keep up the great work out there. Folks, we need more people like that, and maybe you're the one that God's calling next to run for office or to help find somebody to run for office. Get engaged and make a difference. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core. Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How is that? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. And as you can imagine, once she meets her child inside the womb and hears the heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of people like you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do all of this. The cost of a dinner will save a life. The most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible. They go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued. You can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing's for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate today. Your best gift. Do it today. Dial #250 and say the word baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.